surpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. I've described a process and in the description I've focused on the listening. If one thinks about it for a moment, how could one have undertaken this training in the first place if somewhere within oneself one was not listening? There must have been a quiet call to which we responded, and indeed there was. River Master Jiu used to say, before we ever longed for the eternal longed for us. Another way to put this is very simply, there really is no beginning to training. I talked about the process of asking, offering, waiting. That sets us up for correct and successful listening. I also said that correct and successful listening presupposes a willingness to follow. If we think for a moment about that following, one striking fact about it is that it imbues the entire process. The entire process is the following. And at the same time, there is a discrete step of choosing to go in the direction that one's heart is leading one in. One's true nature, one's Buddha nature is leading one in. It's very important to know that the Buddha nature never insists. We are always offered the choice. And it is always a real choice with real consequences. So there is both an identifiable discrete step we can call the following, and then there's also the following that is the entire process. And this very precisely mirrors the fifth of Urban Master Jiu's five columns. She calls eternal meditation. There is the actual act of meditating, the choice to meditate rather than just being swept away by one's thoughts and feelings in any particular situation. The choice to take refuge within one's own heart, to take refuge in stillness, the stillness of the Buddha nature. And there is eternal meditation, which imbues all of the five columns which underlies, and it's the reality of all the other columns. These five aspects of meditation are really the same as the five columns viewed in a particular way, from a particular perspective. I've always thought of them as the five columns viewed from the perspective of practical action. These aspects of meditation were given to me during my long meditation retreat in 1998-1999. They were given in Dharma talks where I sat down, didn't know what I was going to say, and they just came out of my mouth. And these things, these five aspects just came out of my mouth in five successive talks. It's been something like 25 years now since that time. And I still feel like I'm just beginning to get a glimpse of what these are about, the meaning of these five aspects of meditation. And I still see more times in which I don't seem to do it, and times when I do it. But if one can do it even once, one can do it again. And it's not as if we do not have help. We have the help of the Eternal. And in the Sangha refuge, we have the help of fellow human beings who are also doing it. Now, another thing about the following. In order to follow, you have to be led. You have to allow yourself to be led. And you have to be led by something or someone. This whole process assumes that there is the Eternal, takes it for granted. That's why this is religion. This whole process assumes the Eternal is not external to ourselves, is not a separate deity. That there is that within us which is of the Eternal, which we call the Buddha nature. It does not assume that any one of us has the whole of the Eternal. We're not God. There is that within us which is of God. So to follow is to allow oneself to be led, to allow oneself to be pulled in the right direction, to respond to that pull or that call, that beckoning, to choose that response rather than another response. That is a direction of generosity of spirit, of greatness of heart. It is not the direction, never the direction of pettiness, self-centeredness, meanness of spirit. It's never that direction. Yet if one wants to, if one were to willfully try to manifest that great-heartedness, generosity, one would end up in some delusory state of grandiose hopes and ambitions. We have to allow ourselves to be drawn by that which is greater than ourselves and not try to be that which is greater than ourselves. We have to always remember we are the junior partner in this, and way junior. We can be nothing whatsoever and still be of the eternal. We can have nothing, we can know nothing. This is what the scripture of great wisdom is telling us. We have the immaculacy of nothingness. Really, in truth, we are of that immaculacy. That is enough. This is why wisdom is humility. And as Reverend Master used to say, the first step in religion is to get out of God's seat. Get down and start bowing, is the way I think of it, to that which is greater than oneself. Then we can come to know its love, its kindness, its wisdom. Know it not with the intellect, but through experience. In truth, there was never a beginning of the following, and there is never an end of the following. We speak of that never being an end of the following as endless training, and yet, what really is the training? The training is the following.